This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Tech, show number 116, recorded on May 12th, 2013. Here at Home Tech, we cover all your favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in Bellevue, Nebraska, and we post the show with world-class show notes each week out at theAverageGuy.tv. If you have questions, comments, or contributions, you can contact the show via email. Just send that to me, podcast@theAverageGuy.tv. You can find me on Twitter, just @JCollison. Or follow the show schedule, which a bunch of you did this week. I appreciate that, @TheAverageGuyTV, all one word. You can also join us for live chat during the show. If we were doing this on a typical Thursday night, I didn't even announce it tonight, but if this was a Thursday night, you could join us for live chat. Just head over to theAverageGuy.tv/live, and right next to the live stream window is chat. You can just log in and join us on a normal Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, over at theAverageGuy.tv/live. Well, we kind of have a weird show tonight. It's a Sunday night, and I've got my podcasting my best podcasting friend in the world, Mike Howard, over there. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great. Having a great Mother's Day.
Yeah, it is Mother's Day, and we're podcasting. We've snuck away from to do this. I was out on Thursday this week. We had a big wedding this weekend, and didn't get a chance to record Thursday night, and I've got some Drobo material from the Drobo Hangout that we did, and I was looking for some way to get it released, and the weekend kind of kept going on and on. I've been writing a bunch of blog posts, and so I contacted Mike and said, hey, can we do a quick 25-30 minute podcast, and then I will append the Drobo audio onto the end of this podcast, and he said, yeah. So, Mike, I appreciate you doing that tonight.
No problem, Jim.
Well, Mike, we do have some really fresh, relevant material, and you spent the weekend kind of talking about this new setup that you have. And so if anyone follows us in Facebook or on Google+, they've probably seen this by now, but I wanted to be one of the first ones to podcast about it, and I thought I'd take this opportunity to do it. You have coined a new phrase, and we're going to say this. I've never heard this before, but it's called a hangoutosaurus. You've got one built there in the NAV or in the JPEG Duras studios.
I do. And it is a takeoff of Leo Laporte's Skypeosaurus. I didn't come up with the Asaurus part all on my own. So I did take that. But it is basically based on what he did with Skype. I'm doing with Hangouts.
His Skypeosaurus was four or five different machines that all fed into one TriCaster and then broadcast live out through his network. What's the Hangoutosaurus look like?
Well, and what I understand about the Skypeosaurus, and I'm definitely not an expert on it, but what I understand was each computer would call one person. So if you ever done a Hangout with multiple people in it, a Skype call, I should say, with multiple people in it, you know, there's issues. Having one person full screen or it not having video for one person or something like that. So there's issues if you have a multi-call Skype. So what he did is have a one computer call one person. So if you need to have four people on the show, he'd have four computers calling. And that combination, whether he ran it through a TriCaster or whatever he ran it through, he called the Skypeosaurus. That, you know, any of us can do that, but there is cost to that. And I didn't fully understand how do I get video back. So if I call you on Skype, we can see each other. When I call another person on another computer, I can have another webcam where they can see me, but how do I have them see you? So that issue that I was running into, unless you have a TriCaster, which I'm not going to buy one unless the show makes a lot of money.
big bucks, no whammies.
Yeah, I didn't. That seemed like a hurdle I didn't want to battle or try to overcome. And we have actually moved to using Google+ Hangouts a long time ago, maybe back show 40, somewhere around there. And I've been very pleased with it, with a couple of exceptions. One is as it switches from one person to the next, you know, as you're talking, the person who's on the big screen, instead of the thumbnails down below, that person switches as somebody talks, which is a good and bad. You know, it's good that the next person comes up as they're talking, but the bad is that there's a lot of times there's a few seconds there, 1 to 2 seconds or more sometimes, where the person's blurry. as it brings up the quality of that call. The other thing is, if I wanted to show, like I've done with this with our past show, with our just past week, I want to show the guest as, let's say, the majority of the image. You know, she takes up maybe 2/3 of the screen, or she or he, and then Tim and I, who's Tim is my co-host, and maybe even a third person, are smaller thumbnails to the right, but bigger than what you see down below in a Google Hangout. So by having multiple computers being on the Hangout, I can capture have each one locked on one person, so that way their video is always at the highest quality that I can get. You know, it's still internet, so it's not going to be, you know, HD. Google Hangouts are, I think, 480p. But I can lock on that, and I can choose who is the bigger image, who's the smaller thumbnails, and I have a lot more control over how I want to do that. Now, I should mention that I'm doing all this using Wirecast. That is the capability where I can grab video from multiple computers using software called Wirecast, which is like, I guess, cheap man's TriCaster.
Yeah. How many PCs do you have in, you know, going at the same time for a typical podcast that you're doing then?
Let's see if I can share my screen so I can show you. Hold on. And, you know, having a little bit of trouble here.
Yeah, sometimes it takes twice to get that. There you go.
So, you know, I typically have, it depends on how many people are going to be on there. So my video for me, I can have on one of my, I can capture one of my actual webcams. So that's actually going to be pretty good quality. Then I have one of them, which if you're looking at this photo, you see my nice folding chair. I got all this equipment and a nice folding chair. There's a bigger screen right in the middle. That bigger screen and the one to the right of it is connected to the computer to the far right. Then there's two other screens there. One of those is one where I have the main guest connected, the one to the immediate left of the center. And so I'd capture the guest there. Then the one to the far left is where I'd capture Tim. And he would be there connected to another computer. The thing with Wirecast, what you're using is something called Desktop Presenter. It can only grab one section of one computer at a time. So you can have four monitors connected to the computer, but Desktop Presenter can only run once and only capture one section of the screen. It can capture a full screen or part of a screen, but not multiple parts.
So once per PC instance, in other words?
Yes.
One per desktop, right?
One per desktop. So if you, like, actually that computer that's to the left of my desk is running two virtual machines in addition to its normal self, and I am capturing websites and I think a slideshow. A photo slideshow inside of those. So you can run a desktop presenter on a computer more than once, but it has to be inside of a VM. I tried having a Hangout be joined by a VM machine. It had a lot of video issues. And I think it's just the power of pushing that video through a VM was just not working well.
Did you have, you were accessing that VM through a remote desktop connection?
No, I was accessing it directly.
Oh, okay. All right. So even directly, you had some problems with it.
Right. Because the one thing I'm using that you can't tell from this photo, but what I am using, you see one mouse and keyboard on my desk, and then to the left of that on a little pullout, you see another mouse and keyboard. So only two mouse and keyboard controlling, what's that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 computers. You know, I'll tell you where the fifth one is in here in just a second. But the keyboard and mouse is to my left. That one is controlling that computer way to the left. And I only have to make one adjustment to it. And that's when Tim comes in, I grab his video, make it full screen, and bam, we're ready to go there. The main keyboard and mouse is using Mouse Without Borders. It's a free program that comes from Microsoft. And it really is like a hardware switcher. If you ever use a hardware switcher for a mouse and keyboard to move it between computers, I know, Jim, you've used this before. Mm-hmm. It works fabulous. It works just like that. It actually makes it to where if you have two monitors connected to one computer, you know how easy it is to drag the mouse between the two of them. Well, with Mouse Without Borders, is just like they're all connected to the same computer, mm-hmm. but it works over the internet. It works amazing. As you move your mouse to a new computer, the keyboard's there too. So moving my mouse to this that computer that's right to my left, the immediate left, is really easy, and I can go over there and I can change anything if I wanted to. Anyway, so by doing it with a Hangout, the benefit there is let's say I have one guest and Tim and myself. We all join the Hangout. We can all see each other and hear each other. I grab the audio through my mixer that you can see to my far right there. I grab the audio from that, from the Hangout, and that is the main Hangout. So guests and everything can see us. I just have the other computers join the Hangout, and they just make Tim or somebody else be full screen so I can grab that video. The guests and Tim don't even bother with why another computer is connected.
You have, like here, right now, I have my broadcast server connected. So correct. If you're watching the recorded version of this on YouTube, all you see is a little black square. If you're watching us live, which we do have a viewer watching us live, so welcome, viewer, for joining us. But if you had that, you would see my picture down there. How many of those do you have running, Mike? How many extra kind of sessions do you have running then in a typical podcast?
What do you mean, sessions? Hangout?
So, yeah, how many extra Hangouts, right? There's you, and then there's like the pseudo you, right, that are monitoring these PCs. Do you have three or four of those running?
Actually, if it's just Tim and I and one guest, like it was this past week, just one guest, then it's just extras, it's just one. So you got the guest, and you're not seeing me because I got my screen share going, but I'm holding the one up. It's my guest, me, Tim, and then I have one other computer joined. That's that one to the far left.
That does the slideshow and some of those kinds of things. Okay.
No. So the one thing that's confusing here is because I'm using Wirecast, I'm not having all this come back through the Hangout. The Hangout is just a way for me to capture the video.
Okay, that makes sense. Everybody. Yeah. That makes total sense. Because you're not, if I'm watching your live YouTube broadcast when you're live, right? When you're doing it live, I don't get to see any of the pictures and any of that stuff you're showing because that's going out through Wirecast.
That's going out through Wirecast and it's being displayed on our website live. Now, Wirecast has the ability to output its feed out to a virtual camera, which then you could actually join a entirely separate Hangout, have that one be the one that actually goes live. But that's a side issue I don't want to get into for this. But you could do that. We're not doing it. We want people to come to our website and watch it from there. We have our own personal chat room that we have going on. We want everybody in one place if possible. It also allows me that, you know, I can do lower thirds with saying, this is Tim Kimberly. This is, you know, we had Lauren Lim. I shouldn't say her name if I don't know the last name. But Lauren, we had Lauren on. I could have those things below their video because now by doing this, I've actually got a separate video feed in effect for each person who's in a Hangout. And I can treat them any way I want, you know, through Wirecast. Now, I could, let's say, I want to switch back and just go to normal. Because I'm using Wirecast, I can just go back to the computer to my immediate left, unclick the guest, because I would have the guest highlighted there so they're always on top, unclick that, and then it would act normally, and I'd capture it that way. If a fourth person joins that computer to my far right, that you can just see at the far right of the image here, that one normally just shows a graphic that says JPEG to RAW. I actually, if we have a fourth person join, I can have that one join the Hangout too, and it would be another video feed, basically.
Okay.
And this, you know, this way everybody can see everybody because we're all in that one Hangout, and you solve that issue of that doing that. But I have basically a separate video feed for each person.
Yeah. And yet it all still comes together through the Hangout, through the Google Hangout, so you can still monitor each other, hear each other through the conversation. And then you're broadcasting out. You're using Justin.tv, right, for your main broadcast in most cases?
Yeah, we have Wirecast is actually putting out the two places, Justin TV and Livestream at the same time. Okay. Livestream is our mobile feed, is how we're using it, and Justin TV is our main feed. And the audio from that one, that Hangout and the computer that, you know, to my immediate left, that one is all that audio is coming through that mixer. I could do something a little more complicated, but where I had audio coming from each computer, but that
That just adds a level of
complexity. That adds a level of complexity. And actually, yeah. I think in Hangouts, there's no way to split out each person's audio. It comes across as one feed, as far as I know. So I couldn't do that. But that way I have all the audio coming through that one place. It's really easy. The only thing I have to use that keyboard that you see to my far left is last week Tim dropped out of the Hangout a few times. He was having connection issues or whatever. Every time he'd come back in, I'd need to go back to that computer to my far left and re-click him to have him highlighted.
Yeah. And then, but because it would show up in the same size box, Wirecast would pick it up and you'd be fine.
Yeah.
What's the, okay, so since we're here and since I'm probably going to pimp this pretty solidly on the podcasters, you know, group on Google Plus, what board are you using there? What's that board?
That is a Mackie Pro FX8, I think is what it is. Yeah.
And eight XLRs or four?
Four XLRs.
Okay. Eight channel, four XLRs.
Yes.
You have it connected USB.
It can connect USB. I think I actually had the USB disconnected.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I don't think I'm actually using a USB on it.
All right. And we're going to talk about this on Thursday for the regular listeners. We're going to talk. You've got the Yoga there, the Lenovo Yoga, right, sitting there to the left?
So right to the left of my Mountain Dew. I always have Mountain Dew. And I've had some people question. They think that's an iPad, and it is not an iPad. That is a Lenovo Yoga. I think I'm saying it right.
Yeah.
It's a Core i7 laptop. I mean, it's a speedy laptop. It's a touchscreen laptop. In this case, where you're seeing it, is bent over. So the keyboard's actually on the other side of it, and the screen is what's showing there. And I'm using Mouse Without Borders on it. So what I'm doing, Wirecast is a very CPU-intensive program, very CPU-intensive. And my main computer, the one you see the big tower to the far right, it is a Core i7 3770K that's overclocked and still struggles with Wirecast. So I reboot the computer and only have Wirecast come up and only run Wirecast, not even one web page come up. So I needed a way to monitor the chat and actually make sure the show's working. So I'm using that laptop as to monitor chat and interact with chat for our live feed, because we do all our shows live. So what I do whenever, since it's running Mouse Without Borders, all I have to do is move my mouse over and bam, I'm on that laptop, and I can type in there and then move back as needed. It works pretty good.
Very cool. Now, the picture you took, this is HDR photography, right? This is a special. It almost looks like a cartoon.
Yeah, so I should we are a photo show, and I should mention this is a terrible HDR.
Well, it's not really what HDR was designed for, right?
No, and this is, well, it could be, but this is not meant to be an HDR tutorial. It is. We can say this is what not to do with HDR.
what not to do. Well, and then for those that are looking, yes, those are milk jugs, right? That your lights are covered with milk jugs?
Yeah, they are. And I do have a umbrella where I could do it through the umbrella. But there really is not, on the other side of those monitors, there's so little room that the umbrella just didn't fit. I really couldn't get it to fit well. So I said, I got to come up with a better idea. And I have those, what's inside of those things are LED lights from Lowe's or Home Depot. And they put out no heat. They put out quite a bit of light, though. It's pretty bright. So I needed something to diffuse those lights. So I just took gallon milk jugs and cut a hole in the top after the milk was out of them, and put them there. And they do a pretty good job of diffusing the light. You know, eventually I probably will go away from them, but they're doing a job for now.
Cool. Yeah, we've made a lot of jokes about your jugs over the months that we've been talking about this, and I know Ray Ortega especially likes that, thinks that's pretty funny. I think he calls you the milkman.
He has, yes. The milkman. I don't know if I want to go down in history with that name.
Well, you never know. You never really know. Well, that's very cool, Mike. I appreciate you you taking a few minutes. Anything else on that you want
to? Yeah, I'd like to point out a few other little things that maybe don't come out right away. And if you look at the main monitor that's straight in front of the chair, look just to the left of that. On top of that monitor that's right next to it, there's two Microsoft HD LifeCam cameras. So that one of them is connected to the computer to the left, which is what I'm actually using now. Well, you don't see that me, but you see that's what I would be using.
Right, right.
And one of them is connected to a computer that's to my right, so I can flip back and forth. On top of that computer to my right is another webcam pointed down, so I got a desk view. And then on that computer, you can't see this, but it's to the far right. Computer almost going out of the frame, and that there's a monitor sitting on top of it. You can kind of see the edge of that. Just out of the frame is another webcam that's giving a behind-the-scenes look. So with Wirecast, I can flip between all those cameras at will. It works really good.
Yeah. Yeah. And if this is maybe you're new to the podcast or listening to this the first time, whatever, Mike, you do a photography podcast, jpegtoraw.com, and you are live on Tuesday nights.
Tuesday nights, yep.
At 7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern. Is that right?
8:30 Eastern. Yep.
8:30 Eastern. Okay.
Yep.
7:30 Central, 8:30 Eastern, jpegtoraw.com. It's funny for me to see it from this perspective. You and I talk at least a couple times a week, and I always see you coming in from the other perspective. And this is the first time I've seen it from the bookshelves going out.
Yeah, yeah, because normally you see the bookshelves behind me. Mm-hmm. Hey, so longer term, I'd like to get, instead of having a desk and a credenza that you see there, I would love to have a big L-shaped or whatever shaped desk there that just went the whole around like that and put all those computers underneath. But this works for now. I think before I do any of that desk stuff, I got to do something about a chair.
Yeah, you do. That's the thing probably you gotten the most comments on.
Yes.
Today.
I got a lot of comments about that. No comments about
you do that as much as you sit there.
It is. Yeah, it does get tiring. No comments about the do. And I should mention that to the far, far left, right, almost going out of camera, you can't even see it's really there unless you really look. You can see the edge of my little refrigerator, which is where all the dew comes from.
Right. Yeah, you keep that in there.
There is also on the desk, right next to the monitor that's turned vertical, or portrait.
Yeah, in portrait mode.
There's my little Roland sound recorder. What is that? Whatever version that is.
The R5.
Yeah, the R05. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And are you recording to that?
Yeah, I do. I record. You know, Wirecast, of course, records audio and video, but I also record audio through the mixer, through that Roland. Yeah.
My I have the Tascam DT07 that I got a couple years back, $100, and my son just came over this weekend, borrowed it. He's going to do some live recording, and they're going to connect that to the camera. They've got a I should know. I think it's a Nikon. Are you Nikon or a Canon guy?
I'm Nikon, yeah.
You're a Nikon. I think is it 3000?
D3000, yep.
D3000. And so they're going to shoot video with the camera and then take the audio from the recorder because it's just better than the one that, that's on the camera for sure.
I like having it just as a backup. You know, obviously it's only audio, so our show is really concentrated on video too, but it is a good backup. And speaking of backups, every one of these computers is on a UPS.
So on their own, or are they going to one?
They're all on their own UPS.
Okay. And what do you use?
I use what's a CyberPower. Most of them are CyberPower.
Okay.
So my network equipment is APC, and I think it's a mix of APC and CyberPower. But basically, all my networking equipment is also backed up. So if we had a flicker, which we've had, flicker of power or a drop of power, all the computers should stay up and the networking equipment. So really, unless it is multi-minute, 5 minutes or more, the podcast should keep going. Now, when we're podcasting, we're using a lot of horsepower, so it probably won't last too long. But I'm not trying to continue to podcast for an hour after the power goes off. I just don't want a quick trip of the power
right
to kick us off.
Typically, most power outages go less than a minute. And so you can, it'll go down and then come right back up, a power interruption or a brownout. And then so that prevents that. I have an APC 1000, A1000 or U1000. I forget the letter, but about 600 watts. And I use about 300 of them across three PCs. And it works great. Now, I found out this weekend, if you're in the Home Server Show community, there's a whole long thread going on right now about, I guess if you have a new power supply, those use those want a true sine wave, and
that's what I was telling you about. Remember?
Yeah, I know. I kind of read up on it, and also it all made sense to me this weekend. I'm like, oh yeah, now that's what he was talking about.
Yeah, so I have two of my servers that every time the power trips, they for some reason go out, even though they're connected to a UPS, and that's what I started thinking. Maybe it has something to do with new power supplies and UPSs.
Yeah, yeah. So did you follow that thread at all?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I need to go check that out.
It was actually, there were some links in there that were helpful, and I guess there's these power supplies. PFC is the acronym that they use. If you need to get a power supply or a UPS that is able to work with the PFC power supplies in the PCs themselves. So it's more complicated than I wanted to get into at this point, but there's one more thing to think about if you're purchasing new computer equipment or higher end computer equipment. Maybe the guys on BYOB can cover that.
Yeah, that's definitely a good discussion for a later show.
For sometime, yeah. Well, good. Hangoutosaurus is its name. And, Mike, you have certainly, in the time I have known you, you have certainly created. And from the front here, you know, you don't have the lights on in the back. So
I actually was not prepared to do a podcast.
No, that's all right. You're good.
You can barely see some of the bookcases back there.
It emphasizes you and not the stuff that you have behind you, but... certainly a very interesting setup, I think, for the podcast community in general. Again, I'm going to put this out as a link in the podcasters forum there in Google Plus.
And I should mention, I'm running on one milk jug, so I'm running at a third power.
1 mg. You're running 1 mg at this point.
A third power, which means that the monitors are probably making too much light in my glasses.
Yeah. No, it's okay. It's all right. The key was the, to see that picture that you'd taken and to talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
And if you want to see it in action, again, head over to jpegtoraw.com on Tuesday nights. You can catch it live 7:30 Central, 8:30 Eastern, or catch the back episodes there over at jpegtoraw.com. Mike, thanks for taking a few minutes to talk about that. No problem. I'll remind folks, we do have a Facebook group promotion going on right now. And if you could use 100, who can't use? You could use 100 Amazon bucks, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, everybody can.
I need a new chair.
That would be great for a new chair or a UPS another monitor or whatever you need in your tech setup. Just something along those lines. Right now, it's super simple. All you got to do is head out to the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/theaverageguy, and a bunch of you have done that already, so I appreciate if you've joined it. But if you're a regular listener to the podcast, you should join us out there. Some great conversation going on. Mike, we actually did some Average Guy stuff this weekend. One of the gals, I think, came over from the JPEG to Raw Facebook group. She'd boinked her laptop. It was done at that point. And a bunch of guys were able to jump in and kind of help get it fixed. And so that's kind of what we do over at the Home Tech Average Guy Facebook group. Head over there, facebook.com/groups/theaverageguy. All you got to do is join us. And when we hit 250 people, everybody who's a member up to 250 will be put in a drawing, and you can win 100 Amazon bucks. So this we won't do it till we hit 250. And if we never hit 250, I guess I'm not giving away the money. I guess I get to spend it, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah. So invite your friends. Come out there and join the community. It doesn't hurt. It's a great group. No spam, that kind of thing. Love to have you out there. I think we're at 150. So we've grown by 10 or 12 just in the last week without much advertising. So
nice.
Come out there, facebook.com/group/theaverageguy, and you would be put in a drawing for 100 bucks from Amazon. Good stuff. Okay. Also want to let you know there's new mobile options available at theaverageguy.tv, so I've spent a bunch of time over the last couple weeks making sure that the players work on every portable device. So if you head out to theaverageguy.tv and you want to listen to the podcast right from your phone, you can do it that way at theaverageguy.tv. I don't recommend that. If you were going to listen to the audio, I'd recommend getting it through Stitcher. If you just go to stitcher.com, sign up for their service and search for Home Tech. The podcasts are automatically available on Stitcher. You could use, if you're on Android, you could use something like Beyond Pod. That's something I use. Mike, do you use anything on Android besides Beyond Pod to listen?
No, I use Beyond Pod.
Okay. Yeah, and you and I are going to get together in the next couple weeks and actually record a whole podcast about the different ways of listening to podcasts. But on iTunes, the Apple products, on an iPhone, there's a podcast application that is there that you can get these these podcasts through. On Windows Phone, there's one called Podcasts with an S, and you can subscribe to the podcast and get them that way. But if you want to watch it right from the mobile site, you can do that as well. The player is now compliant for mobile devices. Just hit play, and amazingly enough, it'll start playing for you. You can see it right there. So check that out if you want to. You can also watch it live on YouTube from your mobile device. So completely mobile, I think. If you have trouble, let me know. Completely mobile compliant. Check that out. We're live again this Thursday. Actually, Mike joins me again. Eddie Ramirez is going to join us as well. We're going to talk the last topic on laptops. So if you didn't catch the other two, head out to 114 and 115. So you go to theaverageguy.tv/HT114 or HT115. And you can catch some really good discussions around laptops. Mike, you're going to talk about that yoga.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about the Surface a little bit.
Surface Pro, yep.
Yep. Eddie's going to come in and talk a little bit about government and what they do with laptops. We've had a great discussion around Chromebooks as well. And you can join us this Thursday. That is May 16th, 2013. If it's past that date, well, you missed it. But you can go back and catch that. theaverageguy.tv/forward/HT117. And we'll get that out there. All right. We're going to cut in right now. We had an opportunity. Callie Lewis came into town about 2 weeks ago. We did a Drobo meetup, and Mario Blandini from Drobo was there as well. I got to get a bunch of interviews in. Some of the folks, actually some of the listeners, are in there. I got to interview my family in the process. I didn't interview Callie, though, in that video is coming a little bit later.
You got interviewed by her.
Yes. So hopefully that'll come out sometime soon. But Mike, we'll roll that audio now, and when that's done, we'll just call it a podcast. So Mike, thanks for coming on again, and everybody have a great week. You bet. Okay, we're here at the Drobo. We're here with Callie Lewis at the Drobo meetup here in Omaha, basement of Upstream. I'm here with Dennis. Dennis, tell me who you are, where you're from. Give the listeners some idea of all that stuff.
I'm Dennis Halling. I live in Lincoln, so I'm real close to Jim. Finally got to meet him, listen to him forever. I got a version 1 with almost 10 terabytes of storage in it right now.
10 terabytes?
Yeah.
Nice. Nicely done.
3 2-terabytes, another 2-terabyte external, another 1-terabyte external, and the 500 that came with it.
Is that on version 1?
Version 1, EX470.
So a little bit of a spider configuration like I used to have, right? So you got some drives internal, then you got some USB drives hanging off the back.
And I used to have an eSATA enclosure with 8 terabytes on it that I've moved.
Oh, who made that enclosure?
Sans Digital. So, and I moved it. It's upstairs now, connected to a computer that I built to play around with that's running 2012 Essentials.
All right. In a test mode, or are you actually using that?
I'm using it with my movies to rip our Blu-ray and DVD collection. Right now, I got 8 terabytes hanging off of it. It's full.
Wow.
And I got another enclosure coming with 3 terabyte red drives for another 12 terabytes, and I'll probably fill that up.
You know, there's been a lot of discussion in the forums recently about red drives versus green drives. Any consideration when you order those that you went red instead of green?
I went red because the original enclosure is greens. I tried to put it into a RAID 5 using the Rocket RAID 622 card, and it would always drop drives as soon as I started to rip to it.
Really?
Yeah. So right now it's sitting in San Digital's JBOD configuration, which is not really JBOD because the computer sees it as one big drive. But doing that, I was able to rip to it. So right now that's going to have 20 terabytes on it. Probably be
holy moly. Have you thought about the Norco 420 and all?
Thought about it, but the problem here is my movies will not work with an extender to play Blu-rays or DVDs out, and that's my eventual goal. So I'm using 2012 Essentials to rip all them all, and then I'm going to move the 622 card and the 2 enclosures over to my HTPC that sits in the living room that will then play to all the extenders.
So you'll watch those direct then?
Yeah.
Okay, so version 1 is on a 470.
Yep.
You've got 2012 Essentials running on...
It's running on an i5 with an ASRock board, a Z78.
And, plenty of power there?
How much RAM?
16 gigs, because I designed this originally to play with VMs.
Okay, yeah, many of us have.
So I was running 2008 till I got around to deciding I wanted to do all this ripping, and that's when I put 2012 on it. And I was running a Windows 8, Windows 7, a 2011 kind of in test mode on that using VMs originally. So that was kind of nice.
Yeah, very cool. A great way to do it. A very valid configuration for it. Let me ask you this. From a drive extender standpoint, then it sounds like you've just decided to go RAID and get around drive extender?
I'm going RAID in this case because I didn't want to have to put stable bit onto the HTPC. But that was the option I was thinking of. Especially once I get my Vert V1 finally dies, I will definitely be going to... I'm not sure if it's going to be 2011 or 2012 because I want the HTPC to be able to pull send the recordings down to the Windows Home server. So I'm almost going to have to go 2011, but I'll go stable bit at that point, I think.
Okay, and you're keeping recorded TV as well as RIP movies, right?
Yeah, I got that version 1's probably got almost 4 terabytes of recorded TV sitting on it.
Wow, that's a lot of commercials.
I like to keep, well, a lot of it was before I got my Seton card. I was using Dragon Global's to skip and cut them out.
Okay, all right.
But once I went to the Seton card, and I'm with Time Warner, unfortunately, so everything's marked copy once.
Yeah. So a little bit of a hang-up on that one, right?
That's a little bit of a problem,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, a little bit. So let's talk about your RAID configuration. So you're telling me you're just going to pull that RAID card out of the one box, move all those drives and the RAID card over to the other, to your HTPC?
That's what my plan is right now.
And you're not worried about that not working over there at all?
Since they're both external boxes, it shouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
Because the RAID is going to stay totally configured in the external box. So don't have to worry about drives being flipped around or anything like that. So I'm hopeful that I won't have a problem.
Yeah, okay. All right, good enough. You know me, I'm the Drobo guy and not the RAID guy. And I take a lot of heat for that, though. Tonight, or let me ask you this before, how long have you been listening to the Home Server Show?
I've been listening for a good 4 years now.
Okay, so a while. Fan of Zadler or not a fan of Zadler?
When I first listened to the Home Server Show, this is going to be kind of funny, but I listened my first time and said, that Canadian guy's crazy, never mind, I don't want to listen anymore. Skipped a while, went back to it and started really listening to it and went, I like him.
Yeah, I like John a lot. We've got John coming on the Home Tech Podcast every once in a while now. We really like having him on. Let me ask you this, as you look ahead in the future, anything that you're working on right now that you're looking forward to around the and let's just say call it the Windows Server 2012 Essentials, can't call it Home Server anymore, anything you're looking forward to?
I'm going to play with Teaming Next. I think that's going to be fun. Right now in this box, I got a dual Intel card along with the NIC that's on board. So.
Okay, yeah, I've had a lot of questions recently. As I've been reading the chat, I've seen a lot of that the NIC configurations, Teaming, that kind of stuff. So maybe that's the next wave of stuff that we'll cover.
I think it'll be nice. It'll hopefully speed things up. But right now, I'm going to a little 4-port switch that has a single line downstairs to my main 16-port switch. So I ain't even going to try because. No pipe between the two.
Yeah, for sure. Are you involved in the forums? How do we find you there?
I'm on the forums as UP7500. I don't post too often. I have occasionally. I also post over on Surface Geeks because I got a Samsung Ative smart PC, the one with the i5 in it.
So. Okay, how are you liking that so far?
The only thing I don't like is the size, mainly because I'm one of these people, the more pixels... The larger the screen, the happier I am.
All right.
11.5 inches is a little on the small side.
It is. I've got a small HP DM1Z, same size screen. It can be a little small at times, though. It's very light and portable and compact. How are you liking Windows 8 so far?
Windows 8, I don't mind at all. And actually, now that I'm using 2012 Essentials, which you got to use with a mouse and a keyboard, I don't have any problems with it at all.
Okay.
It's kind of nice.
Any advice you give to anybody using Windows 8 or any of the Surface products going forward?
Touch is definitely fun. Much nicer.
All right. Yeah, no, absolutely. You know what I find myself wanting? I don't have a touch screen, but I find myself wanting to touch that screen all the time now that I don't have it.
Well, I can tell you a story about that. I work with locomotives, and we got computers that the techs use to sign things off and work scopes and stuff. And so I've had and been involved with touchscreens for 10 years now, and it's always so much better.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it?
Especially on a laptop where I'm not a touchpad person. I can't stand them. I want a mouse or a touchscreen. Either one works good for me.
Yeah. Very cool. Hey, out of all these Drobos, are you a Drobo guy? You got a Drobo at home?
No, I don't. I've thought about it. The Mini definitely looks interesting with the four bays and the MSATA in it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's got some good stuff over there for folks that are here tonight. Of course, Drobo's got the whole spread out there. We're here with Callie Lewis. Dennis, thanks for doing the interview with us. Thanks for coming out. Great to meet you. I always love to come out and meet the listeners. It's always good to meet them in person. Thanks for coming out.
Thanks, Jim. Good to talk to you.
Okay. All right, I'm here. I'm back again at the Drobo Meetup here in Omaha. I found another listener. Tell me who you are, where you're from, and what you do.
Greg Gerke. I'm here in Omaha and system administrator.
All right. System administrator for what?
Unix servers.
Some old, kicking it old school?
Well, yeah.
Of course you're kicking it old school.
Real computers.
Tell me, how long have you been listening to Home Server Show?
Year and a half.
Okay. So not too long, but quite a while. So maybe back to episode, do you remember the first episode that you listened to?
I don't know.
tell me what you got at home from a home server. What's your setup? What have you got there? What are you using for storage?
I've got a Synology 1512, 5 3 terabyte drives. And
you were getting that last time we met at another Drobo meetup here in town. You were just getting that Synology, right?
Yeah, I just got it over Christmas. I had a Drobo, but I gave it to my nephew for a present for him. So
which Drobo was that?
A Gen 2.
Okay. And how's that gone so far?
I think he's doing okay with it. Seems to enjoy it.
Seems to be okay. Did you give him any drives with it when it went away?
A couple of small ones, a couple terabytes maybe, something.
Okay. Enough to get them started.
Yeah, enough to have them start the fun.
In one of the meetups we did in Indianapolis, that we gave away a Drobo, and I had been testing it before, and I forgot I'd left a drive in there. And I think it was Kyle Wilcox that won it. I think that was Kyle. And so I gave him a drive by mistake. So you gave your nephew a few drives to get started?
Yeah, he needs the drives. It's just...
So are you kicking it only with the Synology at this point? Is that kind of your backup solution, or do you have a Windows Home Server that's backing up your PCs as well?
No, I've just the Synology is all I've got. I mean, it's working fine. I mean, haven't had any problems with it, and it's taking everything I wanted, and it's fast, too.
Yeah, pretty fast for you. Have you installed any of the apps on the Synology? You're working with any of the extra?
The streamer, the video and file and all that stuff, and I've got iPods and iPads and stuff at home like that I use for me and the rest of them watch videos and stuff like that off of it. So.
So it's got the ability, you can just connect right to it. How do you do that? What allows you to do that? Is it the DLNA stuff that does, or how
no,
do you get?
Just, actually, the Synology comes with apps itself. There's a DS video and DS print and or not print file and whatnot. And,
right. So some services that are available on it.
Right into the Synology, yeah.
And that's a Linux-based OS that's on the Synology. Yeah, so you're pretty comfortable with that?
Yeah, you can SSH into it and play around with it that way too.
Have you tried to hack it yet?
No. I do that. I get that at work. I don't need it at home.
yeah, that's for sure. Always wonder, you know, if you want to dig in. So you got the Synology. How are you handling your backup then? If you're not backing up to the PCs, how are you handling your backups?
I've got a USB 3 cradle at home that I just shove a drive into, and I'll back that up every couple months. And for now, that I've got, CrashPlan had a freebie thing came out. So I just signed up for that. I just haven't got it set up yet to go and do that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I don't care to back up, but there's stuff like pictures, family.
If your house burned down today, would your data be safe?
My pictures would be.
So you are backing those up.
Yeah, the stuff that I care about is backed up. The other stuff that I've got is, it'd be a bummer to lose, but so what?
Yeah. Well, pictures for sure. Those are the hardest thing in the world to get back.
The other stuff like that, you can get back through one place or another, but family pictures and documents that you need, or, you know, if you lose them, they're just gone. There's nowhere to restore them from.
Yeah, I know. You can't ever get that stuff back. I've really liked the feature on my phone where I can move the first copy of them up to the cloud right away. When I was in Europe here just a couple weeks ago, at one point I thought I'd lost my phone. And I panicked for a moment, and I thought, well, my pictures are in the cloud. What are you using? Are you using any cloud-based storage services at this point?
I've got the Dropbox, and I've got a couple of the other freebie ones. It's just all the freebie storage that they give you. It's just.
Did you know Norton is into cloud storage now? Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, it's crazy. I got an email from him today. I was on their beta test team. So, you know, we're at theaverageguy.tv/cloud storage. We cover, I'm trying to cover them all. There's too many. I can't keep up. I got an email from somebody and they said, yeah, Norton's into it. So I went and signed up for the beta. And then today they sent me an email that said, thanks for being in the beta. Here's another 20 gig. So I have 25 gig from Norton. maybe the name is what they're rolling on. I don't know who else is going to join the cloud storage.
Yeah, at one point in the past, I got Box was giving away 50 gig, and I've got that. You know, it's like, jeez.
Yeah, that's a lot of online storage. So let's talk about it here. You probably necessarily didn't come for the Drobo stuff, but you see anything interesting here from a Drobo perspective?
The Drobos, they're cool. I mean, they're just I like the 5N. It looks, you know, I haven't tried it at home, but here it looks pretty fast, you know. Looks,
did you get a chance to go up there and take a peek at them?
They didn't let me rip out a disc, but
yeah, I've been trying to get Mario. In fact, I'm going to put Mario on the spot here in a few minutes. I've been trying to get Mario to let me take one home, and so I'll have to corner him and get one of those there at the Collison House and get reviewed by theaverageguy.tv. If you could take one home today, what would you take home?
The 5N.
Okay.
I like having the machine available all the time, no matter what. It's not hooked to a computer, so the computer doesn't have to be on to get to it. So,
yeah, no, for sure. I'm using the FS, so I'm kind of kicking it old school at home with the FS, and I love it. I mean, it's not the fastest thing in the world, but I don't put things I need fast storage on for that thing. I've had a couple Western Digital greens. We've had big debates in the forums lately about greens versus reds. I've had some greens running in that thing for 18 months, maybe longer, without any issues. I mean, they haven't failed on me. They keep running, maybe even longer. Let me ask you that, since we've been debating it, reds versus greens, you got any opinion on those?
I've got the reds.
Okay, so you're a red guy?
I figured they were built for NAS, so I went that.
That's probably a good call. Did you say 2 terabytes each or three?
Threes.
So you have five threes, so 15 total. Certainly that's not all available. All 15's not available to you. There's some striping going on there, right?
It's 10, 11 or so terabytes available, something like that. So it's plenty for now. It's got the external SATA port, so you can add more bays onto it if you need to.
So you're listening to the Home Server Show, but certainly you've gone Synology. Anything you're hoping or waiting for Microsoft to do that'll bring you back to the home server world, or are you done with home servers at this point?
Right now, I'm not having any problem with Synology. It just works. I mean, I haven't had a drive fail yet, so I can't say how it's working from that side.
Well, Dave will be happy to hear that.
I mean, when I had my Drobo, I did have a drive fail there, you know, so I ripped it out and shoved another one in and waited for a week, and then the thing rebuilt itself and it was fine again. You know, I never lost any data on the Drobo, so.
Yeah, no, have you tried just ripping a drive out of the Synology to see what happens?
No. It works. I don't want to touch it.
Yeah, it's maybe one of those things you want to do, right? You know, go home, just pop a drive out. I've got a video, you know, it's some video. So start your camera, take some video. I'm sure it'll recover, right?
Yeah, how could this go badly?
I'm sure it'll be fine. Well, Greg, hey, thanks for taking a few minutes to chat with me. It's great to see you again. We met at the last Drobo meetup.
I had hair then.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was a little bit longer, wasn't it? And it's good. It's fun to kind of, you know, I just interviewed Dennis, and it's fun to meet some folks that listen to the show that live kind of in the area. So thanks for coming out.
Yep, thanks.
You bet. All right, so we're here at the Drobo meetup, and I've got two of my favorite ladies that decided to come out tonight to meet Kelly Lewis. Of course, Sarah, what was it like? You haven't met her. You've heard us talk about her a lot as we've, you know, talked about meeting her at CES and stuff. You've watched a lot of Geek Beat. We've watched some of it. I think we go way back with Kelly. We watched some of the first ones. How is it kind of getting to see her here tonight?
She is exactly the same as I imagined her. She is just as down to earth and approachable as she comes across on video, and it's fun, you know.
Are you seeing anything here? So as you look, they've got some Drobos out there laid out. Of course, you see them in the basement all the time when you come down, because that's where the man cave is. Anything look interesting here to you at all?
Well, of course, there's a new Drobo Mini, and I don't know much about it, so that looks really intriguing. It's a pretty slick-looking piece of equipment, but I know you've told me that it's more for portable-type use, so I don't know if we have an application for it, but it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, but if Mario just happened to, you know, send one my way, we'd test that out, wouldn't we?
Oh, of course.
And in fact, I think I even have, you've probably seen them, I've got some hard drives, some 2.5-inch hard drives sitting on the bench right now waiting for that Mini, right?
Those would fit in there nicely, wouldn't they?
Yeah, for sure. Hey, tell me this. What's the best that you see? You know, this is going to go to the Home Server Show and AverageGuy.tv and Home Tech. What's the best thing that you see in our setup at home as far as when we talk about home storage? You know, you don't geek out about it like I do, but how do you consume what we save on the network?
I think there's a lot of our data that's saved on the Drobo, photos, videos. A lot of our home movies are on the Drobo, and I can access those from the TV room, which is nice. I don't have to put a disc in the drive. I can pull it off the Drobo and watch it.
Yeah, so what she's talking about, we use Media Browser. We rip those using DVD Fab to the Drobo. And so whenever we bring a new movie home, one of the first things I do is rip that to the Drobo so it's available. And then you go through Media Center, right, and watch them via video, the Media
yes.
Browser.
Windows Media Center.
Yeah. Any problems with that? I mean, does it skip or stutter or any of those kinds of things?
No, I don't think I've ever seen it skip or stutter. In fact, it's smoother than Netflix streaming.
Oh, really? And maybe a little bit better quality?
Yes.
And that's just on a Drobo FS. So that's a generation back. It doesn't take advantage of any of the mSATA or the data caching that comes with that. So kind of old school technology, but that works out okay. You haven't had any problems with it?
No. I think the only time, it's not really a problem when you're podcasting to save bandwidth, I just don't access the Drobo because you're using it in conjunction with your broadcast servers.
Yeah, remember those days when we had to kind of worry about, I think we just got upgraded to some bandwidth. Sammy, you've been the recipient of that upgraded bandwidth. Has it been better? You're a YouTube watcher. Are you noticing better bandwidth at home?
Yeah, the videos are loading faster, and I can watch higher quality videos without it skipping or stuttering or the audio going faster than the video. It's just a lot better.
It's just working out now, and we really don't even need to be worried anymore about me broadcasting and you guys streaming movies. Let me ask you this. I always had this dream that I would create this home server, and then I would create your folders with your names on it, and you guys would use those things. You never really did. How come you don't really store much on the home network?
I think it's just something about the me. Well, I haven't been aware of the Drobo that much, but I haven't been saving a lot of things on my computer, but I think with my writing now, I might start saving it onto the Drobo. A lot of it goes on my blog, so it's safe on the internet, but I think that might be a better option for the things that don't get posted on the internet, so that way they are safe.
So what about your music? I mean, where do you keep that?
On iTunes and on my iPod.
On your iPod. So when you need music, how do you get a hold of that?
I either buy it on iTunes or on the Amazon cloud where the family stores it.
Yeah, so we kind of have a family account, right, that we use. And then, so you're not too worried about the music because you know we always have access to it on the cloud, right? We've moved away from music storage locally. That's all in the Amazon cloud. So you don't worry about that, right?
Nope, no worry about it at all.
So what do you think? You're here kind of, this is maybe your first tech kind of, right, geek? I mean, you're kind of a girl geek. What do you think?
I think it's fun.
How was it to meet Callie Lewis?
It was fun. I like her.
Yeah, and you're going to get a chance. I think she's going to interview you guys here a little bit later, right?
Ooh, fun.
Yeah, so you guys, she'll have you on. Cool. Well, thanks for coming out. It's great to have you guys. Typically, I do these things alone. And it's probably kind of weird to watch me walk around and talk to all these people, isn't it? No,
no.
Maybe not. So,
nope.
Okay. So if you could have one tech thing different in the house as it stands today. So one thing different that you're kind of hoping for in the future, what would it be? Give you a second to think about that. One thing different. What would you do differently, Sarah?
A better media PC.
Oh, really. Okay, so you don't like, we have Windows 7 Media Center and just a regular PC. How better? What do you want differently about it?
Just a more stable PC. It's an older PC, and sometimes the DVD drive doesn't work very well. It goes to sleep even though we tell it not to.
What about the Xbox? Can we just replace it with an Xbox?
I don't like watching movies and TV on the Xbox. There's a volume issue.
Okay. All right. So PC works better for that.
Yes. It's a more stable, what we sound geeks call game structure. Between the difference between playing a video game on the Xbox and playing a movie or TV through Media Center, you have to turn the volume way up or down between applications, and it's really frustrating, and the gap is much closer when you're
on
dealing
the PC.
With the PC.
Okay. All right, Sammy, one technology thing, you know, you're 14, right? What are you hoping for?
I don't know. I'm going to get the new quote-unquote laptop soon, so that's exciting. Hopefully I won't have to worry about it as much since my laptop is older. It's about 2 years old now, and I kind of want something that's a little bit more reliable almost and something that is bigger and
a little faster maybe.
Yeah.
So good. We got to get that done. We got to get that out to her. All right. Well, I thought it'd be fun to interview you guys, so thanks for jumping on. All right, we're back at the Drobo meetup, and tell me who you are and what you do for Drobo.
Sure, my name is Sam. I'm a Tier 1 tech support agent here at Drobo in Omaha, Nebraska. So I troubleshoot Drobos all day.
How long have you been with Drobo?
About a year and a half.
Oh, cool, pretty cool. So you've seen a lot then. If you've been there a year and a half, you've seen a lot of the problems that come through the mm-hmm. you know, the tech support center.
Definitely.
Tell me a little bit about what's the most common thing that you see coming through these days?
Most common thing is customers who don't necessarily know how computers work. I mean, we talk to a lot of customers who are more photographers, videographers. They spend a lot of time with data, but they don't necessarily know how computers work per se directly. So they usually have friends, family who know more about it than they do. So they get a Drobo. It's an easy way to store data. You know, it's a safe place to store data. The biggest thing we're concerned about here at tech support is, do you have two copies at the same time? Because you only have one copy. Fire, flood, you know, act of God, you know, your data becomes inaccessible, your business could be down for a couple of days. And, you know, that's bad news for you, bad news for us, because we try to get you back up and running as soon as possible. But, you know, think about it. It's zeros and ones written to, you know, hard drive platters, you know, thousands, millions of them. If you don't have two copies of it, you know, how important is your data to you?
Right. That's an excellent point. You know, a lot of the podcasting we do is around home server storage, backup, mm-hmm. those kinds of things. And I think a lot of people approach a Drobo like it's the first copy and the second copy and maybe even the third copy. So
sure.
Do you have to do some education there with customers when you say, hey, look, this is just a single copy of your information, right?
Mm-hmm. We definitely try to, you know, make sure to make our customer base aware, you know, hey, this is a copy, you know, here's your data. You know, the Drobo protects you against hard drive failure. So if, you know, any one hard drive goes bad, or if you have one of our 5-bay or larger models, you know, you turn on the dual disk redundancy ability, you know, it protects you against two hard drive failures. But if you get corruption on your drives, or, you know, someone drops your Drobo and your hard drives break, you know, do you have a second copy elsewhere? That's what we're concerned about. Because if you have two copies, you know, one on Drobo and one on another Drobo or set of external hard drives or in a safe somewhere, you know, then hey, we can troubleshoot your Drobo. You're still not, you know, in danger of losing your data, and we can continue to help you.
Yeah. What's the weirdest support call? Like, you know, I always think about somebody jamming a peanut butter and jelly sandwich into the Drobo, right? I would think that would
sure.
be pretty weird. With customer confidentiality in mind,
sure.
What's the weirdest thing you've seen?
Weirdest thing I have seen at Drobo. Probably the weirdest thing was, unfortunately, I spoke with a customer who, she didn't know a whole lot about computers, and unfortunately, when her first computer was set up, like apparently her son had helped her set it up, he'd set up Time Machine to back up to the Drobo, no big deal, it was working fine. At some point, her old computer broke, so she got a new computer. She assumed just plugging the Drobo into the computer, it automatically back up. Unfortunately, Drobo's a storage device. It's not, you know, an autonomous RAID configuration that just tells the Drobo, you know, your computer, I want these files backed up. So with this customer, she had assumed her computer was backed up 4 or 5 months in a row. But, you know, she'd just been plugging her Drobo in and off the computer, so, you know.
So the storage was available to her, but it had not been backing up like the old computer had
been.
Correct.
Yeah, just because Time Machine hadn't been set up. You know, there is some user setup involved. You know, if you're going to back up data to a Drobo, copy data to a Drobo, there's some, you know, manual clicking of, you know, let's open Time Machine. Time Machine preferences, okay, this is the Drobo, we want to back up Time Machine to it, start the backups.
Okay, so you're here in Omaha, right? I mean, this is you guys are a local company, you're here doing the support right out of Omaha. How long have you been in the Omaha area?
I've been in Omaha about 4 years. I've been with Drobo about a year and a half, as I said earlier, so I've enjoyed it pretty well. It's the Midwest, very nice people. The weather's a little weird, but, you know.
Yeah, it is a little strange. It was 80 yesterday, 70 today. It's going to be 40 tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know that cold front's coming through tonight. So, yeah, that's welcome to Omaha, but a great place. So I think that's one thing I think that's great about Drobo Technical Support. It's right here in the United States. What kind of hours or how do you guys operate as far as support hours go?
Sure. So, I mean, I personally am in the office, 5 days a week, about 8 to 4:30 in the afternoon, Central Standard Time. We do have agents in the office from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Sundays, and then Monday through Thursdays, our hours are 8 to 9, 8 in the morning to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Fridays and Saturdays, we actually have one or two agents in the office until 2 a.m. Fridays and Saturdays. That way, you know, for customers who have servers that they have to reboot in the middle of the night, you know, we have agents in there to be able to help them at that time.
And what happens if I call and it's not during those hours?
Your call should be transferred over to the European line, which is our 24/7 support there. Otherwise, you know, we do have our European and Singapore support numbers listed on our Drobo site. That way, if you call support and we're not in there, we do have other agents around the world who can help.
Oh, good. So they can fuck up in their local time zone and help somebody in the middle of the night.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, very cool. What is what's your favorite so far? What's your current favorite Drobo product that's out? What do you like the best?
As far as favorite Drobo would go, that's a hard question. I would have to probably say in regards to like storage ability and, you know, affordability, I would say the 5D is probably the best. If you're a Mac user, you've got dual Thunderbolt ports. Your read and write speeds are going to be around 200 megabytes per second. You can put up to 5 4-terabyte drives in there for an available space of about 14 terabytes. So that's, you know, a lot of storage for most home users. You know, most people don't have that much data. So, you know, for about $850, you know, just empty, as straight retail, 5D is a pretty affordable choice for, you know, storing your data.
Do you get to mess with the enterprise stuff? That's the 8 and 12 bay Drobos as well?
We do have them in the office, and, you know, we are allowed to mess with them. I'm a little more hesitant to mess with the enterprise ones just because they're a little bigger and we do store some files from the office on those. But I do actually have a 4-bay on my desk that I consistently yank hard drives out of it, you know, just to test the strength of the internal RAID. It's never let me down.
Yeah, I've had good luck with mine. I've pulled those drives from time to time. In fact, one time we went to a meetup and I pulled the drives right before I left and put them back in the meetup, and they came right back up. So it, from that standpoint, I've always had good luck with that. Do you oftentimes find the problem is sometimes failure in the hard drives, that you guys things you can't control on your end?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing we tell customers in regards to hard drives is hard drives will fail eventually. I mean, you can get a bad set of drives. You know, I had one customer, he bought a brand new, either it was an 800i or a Pro. He bought 8 drives with it. 6 of the 8 hard drives are bad, out of the box, you know. Could have been UPS dropped them, you know, when they shipped them. Could be they were just a bad run. I'm not sure. But, you know, hard drives will fail eventually. You got spinning parts with zeros and ones written to magnetic platters. You know, what can you do? In regards to whether the drives fail most of the time or it's more user error, I mean, you know, it happens on both ends. You know, you do have drives that fail catastrophically at the same time. So we tell customers, how important is your data? You know, you've got, you know, different levels of drives. So you've got your green drives, which are kind of more desktop performant, you know, lower end, you know, user level drives. So they're cheaper quality. They're not going to last as long, but they're more affordable. You got your middle class drives, which are more performance level, Western Digital Blacks, Seagate Barracudas, and then the Hitachi Death Star drives. Those are kind of your mid-grade drives. fairly affordable. They're a little more expensive than the greens, but they'll stand a little more workload, a little more usage. If you want to go all the way up to business class units, like on the 8 bays and higher, we only ask that customers use enterprise level drives, just because you're pounding those things 24/7, pushing data to it constantly. Those drives need to be able to take that workload, because, you know, you're in an enterprise environment and your drives fail, your data's down, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, last question. Big debate in our community going on about red versus green on the Western Digital side. You have any opinions on that, especially in the world of storage? Maybe not just Drobo, but you see a lot of storage. Some of the guys say greens are okay. Some folks say they'd only use red. Any opinion?
In regards to reds versus greens, green drives are the lowest end of the drive spectrum. Reds are better than greens because they do have a few enterprise level aspects to them in regards to green. Like greens, they're just regular 54, 5900 RPM drives. They don't have the time-limited error recovery like the enterprise level drives do. Reds do. Western Digital Reds have the time-limited error recovery, which allows you to make sure that if a drive spins down and then for some reason, you know, Drobo prompts it to spin back up, that red, you know, drive has that time-limited error recovery that allows it to spin back up without failing. Green drives, they tend to fail because sometimes, you know, you'll have a set of them. One of those drives, due to a mechanical issue, it just isn't responding on time. The Drobo says, I can't use this drive anymore. So greens versus red. Red all the way.
All right. Well, we'll end it on that. Thanks for taking a few minutes to be a part of the meetup. Great to meet you, and thanks for coming on.
Totally. You have a good day.
Thank you. All right. We're back here at the Drobo meetup, and tell me who you are and what you do for Drobo.
I'm Sky. I'm a Tier 2 support agent, as well as solutions architect, as well as forum admin. I wear several hats.
And how long have you been at Drobo?
Almost 5 years.
Okay, so a while, right? I mean, you've been around a long time in that space.
Correct.
So what you're famous for right now, though, is that you do all the online demos, right?
Not all of them. I share them with Kyle, one of my coworkers, but...
But the two of you do, and tell me a little about what you guys are trying to do with these demos.
Just sort of get the word out there and show people how Drobos work and how they're different from other RAID devices.
So if I was interested in hearing one of these demos, right, because you guys kind of walk through the whole product beginning to end, so to speak, how long does a demo take?
Generally about half an hour, depending on questions.
Okay, so about a half an hour, you cover a whole bunch of stuff about the Drobo. Where would I go to get involved and to be able to sign up for one of these demos?
Well, if you're interested in the smaller Drobos, the mini 5D, 5N, you would go to www.drobo.com/Thunderbolt. If you're interested in the business end of the units, that would be www.drobo.com/live.
Oh, very good. And why do you separate those?
Just so we can get more in depth in the various units.
And do you do both consumer and enterprise? You guys switch off, or do you focus? You guys focus on one or the other?
We have 3 daily demos for the business line and 1 for the prosumer line.
Okay, and I heard there's some money on the line for this. Is that true?
Offering, not bribe.
Yeah, your current bribe.
$10 gift card.
Yeah, very cool.
Attending a demo.
Just coming in the demo, and I've actually done that. Maybe I shouldn't admit that, but I actually did that. I wanted to see what you guys were doing, so I joined one of the demos, and I got the gift card for Amazon, and it worked out just fine. Tell me a little bit about the things. What's your favorite stuff about the Drobo? You cover it all the time. You've been in the company a long time. What's your favorite things about a Drobo?
Ease of use. It's
you have
very
one. Do you have one at home?
Yes, I do.
And what do you have?
I have a B800i.
That's the 8 bay, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and why that? Do you have that much storage, or do you have it just so that you get really good at it?
iTunes library.
Really? That big?
Oh, it's not full, but...
How many drives do you have? You have all 8 full?
Not all 8 full, about half.
So about half of them full. So how much your total storage, available storage on the Drobo?
Well, the iTunes library is about 30 gig, so I think we have 4 1 terabytes in there, so, you know, about 3 terabytes.
Okay, so not super huge or gigantic. No. Certainly you could load that up with, what's the max drive that you can put in those? How big from a size perspective?
4 terabyte currently. Always updates whenever manufacturers
Yeah, and you guys update, so as they release new drives, you guys update the firmware on the Drobos to be able to support those larger drives, right?
Correct.
And how long has that supported the 4 terabyte drives?
Well, pretty much since they came out, maybe a week or two after.
Okay, so you guys are pretty quick to be able to turn those. Did the storage manufacturers give you advanced kind of warning on that stuff so you know it's coming?
Not to my knowledge.
Really? So you just have to figure it out.
So, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it can't be too hard. You're cranking out those updates pretty quick once they come out, and so you can support up to 4 terabytes on that. Okay, so let me ask you, there's been a huge debate in our forums, red drives versus green drives, okay? So you're rolling your eyes, which means you've been through this before. Tell me your preference. What do you know? Red drives versus green drives. If I was going to use it in a NAS device or a Drobo, what would you recommend?
Red drives, they have the time-limited error recovery, so they don't time out and get failed prior to their actual end of life.
Okay. And do you see when users call in with errors and it's a drive that's failed, do you see any difference between the green drives and the red drives in a failure rate? You might not know that, but I'm just going to ask the question.
I'm not sure, numbers-wise, but Western Digital does say that the red drives have the time limit error recovery firmware on them so that NAS devices won't fail them like they do green drives.
Okay. And I have an FS, and I've been running green drives in it from day one. I've lost a couple in there, but so far it seems like once you get them past the first year, they seem to work really well. But, again, it's the debate that's going on in our community. If you were to give any advice to a new Drobo customer, somebody picking up a Drobo, and maybe it's a thing that you get the most calls on or you hear about or those things, what kind of advice would you give to somebody who's just picking up a Drobo maybe for the first time?
Drobos are great at protecting your data against drive failure, but they are not a substitute for a good backup.
Yeah, that's a good point. We were talking with Sam about that as well. He also works in there. Really important to remember that the data is still in one place, and if somebody jammed a peanut butter jelly sandwich into the Drobo or ruined it or the Drobo board failed, right?
Toddler came and turned off the power.
Yeah, or something went wrong, the house burned down, those kinds of things. You do need to back that up. Do you back up, so your own data at home, right? You got data on a Drobo. What do you back it up to?
iCloud and Mosey for my personal stuff.
All right. Mosey and iCloud, very good. Our community is big on crash plan, so guys back it up. But it's getting to the cloud. So you have it in two places in the cloud and one place at home, is that right?
Correct. Right. Yeah.
Very cool. So
actually switching from Mosey over to Copy now.
Oh, really? Oh, tell me, can you tell me about the Copy relationship? I know that's new with Drobo. What should I know about the relationship between Copy and Drobo?
I'm
going to ask Mario, too, but go ahead.
Partnered with Barracuda Networks. They have their cloud service, copy.com. There's an official Drobo app for the 5N that you install on the Drobo, and it will bi-directionally replicate with your copy.com cloud account.
That's nice. I need to find Mario to trade in my FS for a 5N. Can I do that? Is there a trade-in? I'm just kidding. There really isn't. There isn't a trade-in program, is there?
No, but current Drobo owners can get $100 off.
Oh, there you go. So if you're a current Drobo owner, you don't have to turn in your Drobo, though, right?
No.
Okay,
not at
so
all.
$100 off 5N with the MSATA capabilities, and right, you can put that SSD drive in there as well and get a little faster read and writes, right?
Correct.
Okay, very cool. Well, Sky, thanks for taking a second to interview with me here. If folks want to hear Sky live and in real time, drobo.com/live, drobo.com/Thunderbolt, right? Thunderbolt, and they can get in there, and you get $10. Why would you not want to do it, Sky? Thanks a bunch.
You're welcome.
So I'm here with Mario. We're at the Drobo meetup. Mario, it's always great to see you. Anytime you're in town, good things are happening. What's going on here tonight?
Well, we wanted to get the folks who work for Drobo in Omaha. A lot of people don't know we do our tech support here. We wanted to get them actually mingling with some of the users because you might imagine we're a global company. They're talking to people every day. They just never see them face to face. So we want to get a chance for them to chat with some real people. So on both sides, everybody knows everybody's real.
Yeah, it's been great. I've gotten a chance to interview a couple of your tech support. I got Sky on there as well. And, you know, she does the live demos. And a couple of your guys, Sam, came in and talked about support problems. It is here in the U.S. And I was really surprised it's right here in Omaha. I've lived here a long time. I had no idea. You guys have been here since the beginning, right?
Yes. When Drobo first expanded out of San Jose, we had our first three tech support people in San Jose. But when we started growing as a company, we looked for a place that folks who did support could have that job for a long time. As you might know, you grew up in California. That's a job where you have a roommate in an apartment. Out here, you can have a job where you can be, you know, a homeowner or have your own place. And so we've had a lot of folks. Lee, for example, has been with us for 7 years since the beginning. And we've grown the team quite big to where we're doing both pre- and post-sales stuff here. And 275,000 customers later, we've got lots and lots of folks calling into the call center here in Omaha.
Yeah, how many are here in Omaha? How many? What's the number? And I know you've got first and second level. What, anything else?
We've got a couple of tier threes as well. So we're at 17 people right now. It's not the biggest we've ever been because actually our newest products are
requiring less support.
They're actually a little bit more reliable and fewer people are calling in on them. So just one of those things. It flexes a little bit up and down. But yeah, we have a very strong team here. We like to say that we're a 100-person company, even though only 85 of us are in San Jose or other parts of the world. With add the 17 here in Omaha, and we're over 100.
Yeah, no, that's great. And you know, being I almost consider myself an Omaha native. I've been here for 20 years now. Love what's going on IT wise here in Omaha. Actually, met some folks that I know from the community here, which was great. So thanks for hosting the event and doing this. This is great to have you here. It was great to have Kelly Lewis out.
Yeah.
And that's been dynamite. That's for I brought my wife and my daughter. It's kind of, it's great for them as well. You guys have a new relationship with Copy.com,
yeah. Right,
that I want you to get to talk about a little bit. Kind of give fill in for me what you guys are doing with them.
Sure. Well, everyone's asking us, what am I going to do with cloud? Because while they know they need a Drobo for massive amounts of easy-to-use local storage, you'd like to get some of that stuff off-site. Some people will do some peer-to-peer backup with something like a crash plan. There are lots of different cloud services out there if you want to protect a small amount of your stuff. What we like about Copy, it's the first of several applications coming for the Drobo 5N. It's an application written by Barracuda, which you as an IT guy might know them as being a security company.
Oh, yeah.
And while Dropbox is a great service, if you're a company, you may not be really comfortable with company data going up on someplace like a Dropbox.
They've had a few security concerns, yeah. Just so, a few, right?
There you go. So we like Dropbox too, don't get us wrong, but we were approached by the guys from Copy because they were looking for a partner that had really easy to use storage, and it's a great marriage where you get a good amount of free. If you want to sign up for a little bit more if you're a business or even a personal user, you can get more storage from them, and the agent works in a way that synchronizes data from the Drobo up to the cloud, and conversely, if you take a picture with your Android or iOS device and it syncs to the cloud automatically, it'll then sync from the cloud back to the Drobo.
Oh, very nice. So I have a Copy.com account. I think they were giving 50 gig away.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty good.
Yeah, so at the consumer level, I think I got 50 gig. I think that's what's there. So you're telling me if I install the Copy.com app on my Android phone, right, and I have a Drobo with the Copy.com app installed,
yep.
Right? There's what's the process to get that installed on my Drobo now?
Your personal product isn't yet upgraded, but once it is, I'm sure you'll get there one of these
days. So is the FS going to get upgraded?
Yeah. Well, meaning you have to go to our Drobo 5N. When you're on a Drobo 5N platform, in Drobo Dashboard, there's a Drobo Apps little link on the left-hand side. Click on that, and all the apps available in our App Store, for lack of a better term. You're not supposed to use App Store, but the available applications are there. It's one click away from installing it, one click away from configuring it. Anything that's available there is there. And it's actually free to use. You do have a small fee for the iOS device or the Android app from the App Store, but the Drobo part of it's free. And the premise being that the number one capture device, I'm talking into a device right now that's writing to an SD card, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of these applications, the future is going to write straight over the cloud, whether it's a picture, audio, or anything like that. You want that asset back at your home device by the time you get home, and that happens automatically with an application like that.
So as a Drobo user, do I get a certain amount of data free with them?
Yeah, or? One of the things was we were giving away the 50 gig if you jumped on that pretty early. Really, the application is really meant to facilitate synchronizing up to the cloud for offsite backup and then back down for the local copy for anything you capture while you're out remote.
Yeah, no, that's great. That'd be great because I'd love to try that out. So it sounds to me like I'm going to have to go into a 5N to get that done. I'm on the FS. I'm going to have to upgrade to a 5N, right?
Yeah, we one of the things is they're actually – it's our hottest seller. Amazon had on the 8th of April a sale where they were giving everybody $100 off. So we really – once we get caught up with manufacturing enough of them, I think we might start offering a couple other – discounts out there to other people. But yes, the newer product, it's a fantastic upgrade, multi-core ARM processor architecture. It's fast, gigabit Ethernet speeds that actually go gigabit Ethernet, which in the past, hey, if you're using it for backup or other things, maybe you don't notice the speed. I think a lot of folks, especially here at the meetup, were eager to start using it, not just as a backup, but really as a production primary working storage device that they can do some stuff off of because they are faster.
Yeah, for sure. Tell me a little bit about the Mini. How is that done that's out there? Who's buying that right at this point?
Interesting enough, we have a sign here talking about the guys from National Geographic. The roaming professional photographer, it's a part of the tool bag now, because if they're spending $10,000, $15,000 just to travel to a site to take some pictures, they want to be for darn sure that they're going to copy it onto a device that's protected from hard drive failure. So that tends to be popular with those guys, and they can power it up. It runs off, you know, cigarette lighter sort of electricity. We can't make it bus powered. There's four hard drives in there, so it can't quite get bus powered off of your laptop, as an example. But
it'd be great if that was USB, if you could.
Yeah, we've looked into it, and if we only had two hard drives, we can make it happen. With four hard drives, makes it a little bit harder. But the top users, you're an audio guy, DJs love the darn thing because they can carry around a bunch of music that is protected from a hard drive failure. Audio mixing engineers who want to bring every sound effect they've ever created with them, they had it on a 3 terabyte external drive. I've had guys tell me, I flew all the way across the country and my drive went bad, and what was I going to do? I was going to
a single drive, you're screwed, yeah. Right?
So that's where I think those people are gravitating toward that. And if you don't need a lot of capacity, the 2.5-inch drive has some capacity limitations. Not that it's small, it's just we tend to think of, what do you got in your home server? I've got 8 terabytes, right?
Right.
You can't put 8 terabytes into a Drobo Mini because of the 2.5-inch drives. But folks that want a desktop experience with Thunderbolt connectivity and Thunderbolt chaining to a Mac can get that same thing if they don't quite need the same amount of capacity, because Drobo Mini uses those 2.5-inch drives.
In theory, can I put SSDs in that Mini?
Oh, sure.
And
yeah.
So I get total, that way there's nothing spinning in there?
If you want to, it's all SSD all the time. What we found from our testing, though, is that you want to get a blend of both. If you buy all SSDs, capacity and price are a little bit of a challenge. If you're independently wealthy, shoot, throw some SSDs in there. That's great. What most people will do is they'll put three or four spinning disks in there, but we have a slot on the bottom for an mSATA SSD. It's about the half the size of a credit card, and they're really not that expensive. You know, $50,
$60, $70.
You can put that into the Drobo, and then you get automatic hot data caching, so that any of the transactionally hot IOs, we manage the profile temperature profiles of all the IOs. If you're running a database, for example, all that metadata is going to live on the SSD because it's frequently accessed. You're going to get a great acceleration and the best of both capacity and performance by mixing the SSD with the hard drives. People would rather go that less expensive route and not sacrifice the capacity versus putting the SSDs in the front.
Okay. Well, you know us, right? You know our community. You've been hanging around
us for
a while. You know that question's going to come
up. Of course,
can I slap some SSDs in there?
And then they're going to call you the dollar sign. I can see it right now in your forums. Just a never-ending string of dollar signs.
They will appreciate that you said that. You said that. Yeah, certainly you know by far that I represent Drobo in our community. And whenever we bring up the D word, right, that happens.
Yes.
But you know what? The community's been really good about that. And we got some Drobos. I know some folks that are out there, some listeners to the show that have picked up Drobos recently. On the Minis, I just want you to know, I've actually got 4 hard drives sitting on my bench right now that would fit in a Mini that are just waiting.
I'm just saying. I have a cool-looking Mini carrying case here, too. We're going to make sure we take those with us tonight. They don't wind up in the Collison family.
You might want to safeguard that, because I'm just saying. I've been waiting for a while to test that. And,
all right. Well, hey, no, maybe we just have to send one down, because let me look for one at the office. I think that it would be an interesting one, because when we're talking about building a home server and having a very small footprint, a Mini behind a smaller type of device for someone who wanted to build it themselves could be an all-in-one that could be interesting.
Yeah, it'd just be interesting. I always wanted to try it out just to check out some speeds. And speed always hasn't been important for me. You know, I have the FS right now, and I actually interviewed Sarah and asked her, you know, she watches media, you know, movies off of our Drobo FS. We use Media Center. We use Media Browser to view, you know, we just rip those DVD fab. We rip them
all
right
legally.
To the Drobo.
It's your illegal backup
copy.
That's
what, after I buy it, right? Yep. I rip it on there. And I asked her, I said, have you ever had any any problems with it. And the FS is by far the slowest product, I believe. That
our original Drobo 4-bay with USB only was a little bit slower, but yes.
4S
it's a four-letter word
close.
That starts with an S, and yes.
But you know what? It works for us,
yeah.
Right? She sees no difference in it. And so from my standpoint, we just continue to use that FS. Of course, I'm messing around with it all the time, and I use it for demos and stuff like that. So, but even on the slowest Drobo, still for me, has been fantastic to work with. Okay, so you talked a little bit about copy.com. Anything else exciting? I ask you this every time I see you. So what that you can talk about, and never want to pry out any information I shouldn't, but anything coming up you want to talk about that's going on at Drobo?
Well, I can't name some specific names, but cloud storage and the operation of not only putting stuff from the Drobo into the cloud, but taking stuff that already exists in the cloud and bringing it back to the local Drobo. There's some people who have apps that only exist in the cloud. But what if they lost connection to the internet?
Are you like Salesforce.com stuff?
A little bit smaller than that, but along that idea. You know, the whole idea is that I have something that lives there. What if my internet connection goes down? And you still want to be able to access it. Wouldn't it be cool if everything you had there was also here locally? And facilitating that, making it automatic, is something that we're working on. You could do it today, honestly, with a direct attached Drobo and a computer that's turned on with software.
Yeah.
But I think more and more people are going away with that. You're a home server guy. You realize you don't want to keep a computer or a laptop on. Your home server always stayed on. And now the NAS device is becoming that, you know, device that always stays on in the house. So those are some of the app development things that we're working on. And it'll be a big name. It'll be a big name, meaning
good,
a company
good.
That clearly everybody knows about.
Yeah, well, copy.com and Barracuda, that's not a small name. I mean, those guys are big stuff in the security
It's good
world.
For business, because there are a lot of people right now that have a Barracuda, you know, spam firewall, for example. Wouldn't it be cool if they auto-archived everything up to the cloud, then all the way down to the Drobo from their Barracuda spam firewall, creating three copies of it, all secured, all with IT control over those assets. So we're doing a lot of stuff in the IT space, less interesting for your audience, but we're putting that same IT-grade technology into products that people can have at their house for doing very similar things.
All right, very cool. Let me put you on the spot for 1 second. When am I going to be able to back up bare metal to Drobo? My PC, right? I'm a home server guy.
Yep,
that's a big deal for us. Yep. You guys thinking about that at all?
Yeah, we don't have a lot of applications right now where you can do that. And are we thinking about it? It's less of a request, to be honest, outside of home server people than you might think. Because most people consider their device a throwaway device. It's just their pictures and their documents and their media, that sort of
How
thing.
How dare you say that?
No, I'm saying there's differing opinions out there.
Yeah, for sure.
And what we find is the person that uses a Drobo tends to be the person that wants to set it and forget it. They're not thinking about bare metal restore. They just really aren't. And me as a former IT guy, I very much value it. I was a Symantec bare metal restore guy way back in the day when it didn't work.
Yeah.
And you had to try to get it to work. So it's one of these things that Drobo is a storage device. You're almost always going to have to pair it up with a software application to really get the overall solution. And generally, best of breed, one thing we do very well is build a great hardware device with great technology built in. We're not going to be the company that designs every aspect of the solution. So you're going to find how-to guides on our website that talk about mixing two or three things together to make for that best of breed solution.
Yeah, I think, you know, we partner with Mike Howard over at JPEG to RAW, and he has built a really big podcast around photography. A lot of those guys, of course, you know, have a lot of video, a lot of pictures, a lot of data. Drobo's great for them from that standpoint. But at the same time, they rely on their PCs or their Macs for Lightroom, for Adobe Photoshop. And they're heavily customized, right? And so when their hard drive fails at the local level, boy, they want to get that back fast.
Yeah.
So that's why we always ask that question, because there is a segment of power users in both PC and the Mac world that would be nice just to be able, like the home server, which you know has gone away for the most part. Of course, our functionality has moved to Windows Server 2012 Essentials. Are you guys looking in the Microsoft space at all from connectivity to those servers at all, or is it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
we are. We don't have any formal management packs yet, but it's on the roadmap to put some more manageability around there so that you can use the Drobo more seamlessly in that environment, because what people want is the Microsoft Management Console experience and the hardware to be a little bit more transparent. So we totally understand that, and that's whether you want to use it for Essentials, whether you want to use it for full-blown server, certainly applies. So that's something we are thinking about. Back to your last comment on the photographer thing, though. One thing people are doing is their internal drive is just too small. So they're really keeping the Lightroom application on their local SSD, which is small. Their library and their catalog lives on an external Thunderbolt device, because there's really a lot of efficiency to have it all in one place. You don't have to search around to 15 different drives just to find where your project is. So we just came back from NAB in Las Vegas. We were also at Photoshop World in Orlando. And we see that more and more people doing that. Now that Thunderbolt exists, you're no longer tied to the maximum speed of FireWire, for example, which really wasn't fast enough. We showed our demo here, 400 megabytes a second. That's pretty smoking fast, and you can have the same almost experience with a local SSD, but have a massive, virtually unlimited amount of storage out there on the large Drobo.
Okay, so here's my wish list. If you could do one thing for me, Mara, this is what I want you to do. I want you to build me a Drobo box that has the ability to take a motherboard, put it in there so that I can put Windows Server 2012 Essentials and use the Drobo as the drive.
Yeah.
And I know, you know.
But we've talked about it before. You actually drew it up on my whiteboard at the office. That's exactly what you want. And we've been in discussions with a lot of different people around those sort of ideas. And just what we found right now is the easiest way to consume Drobo technology is in the form factor that we currently have right now. But it doesn't mean that in the future, as more and more people do truly get away from having fatter clients and they move to a thinner client. Because there's people who might say the tablet may be the new end user computing platform. And we're going to go back to the mainframe days where your end device has very little on it. Everything lives there in the middle. So you're going to need some beefier horsepower there. Those are some cool architectural ideas we're certainly playing with and talking to other people about. At least with today's processor and memory architectures, we are where we are, but we love the ideas because Drobo's going to be around for a while. We're here just 7 years in Omaha alone. I envision us coming back 7 years from now, having another meetup and talking about technology we haven't even thought of yet.
Well, we've had two meetups now in this year. Let's continue the streak here in Omaha. Yeah. We're starting to gather kind of a local, some local groupies, which is very cool. Mara, you've been a big fan of homeservershow.com. We appreciate that.
Yeah, of course.
You've been a big help to me at theaverageguy.tv with Home Tech. Appreciate you guys' support of what we do, and thanks for hosting this event this evening. It was great to have Callie out, and actually my wife and my daughter are going to get a chance to interview with her here shortly.
That's
very
great.
Cool.
Hey,
thanks for
again,
doing
Jim, for sure.
You bet.